is putting heavy loads on the people and obligations that Jesus never called us to do.
Now, you're talking here also about a return to bondage here.
Yes.
When religion of any kind is put on the people, and you know, some people say, "My, you're very religious." I say, wait a minute. I would accept the word spiritual.
Yes.
I don't like the word religious, because religion says to me that it's a form of worship or a form of a lifestyle. But I want my relationship to God to come out of my heart, not by my performance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly, my walk with God is going to affect my performance.
Yes.
But I don't want to say, well, if I just perform certain ways, I'm okay. And there are a lot of churches, a lot of religions that go along with that. And it really is a return to bondage. And it will keep you there, and it will rob you of having a vital Christian life with the Lord. And it's not, folks, let me tell you, it's not an option that you can choose and be pleasing to the Lord.
No, that's right. And in chapter 23, this is where you are, and especially in chapter 23, Jesus is really coming down on the Pharisees. It's very evident in the book of Matthew, especially, Darren. Jesus is warning us. He is warning the people of hypocrisy or of religion and tradition of man. And that's why we're doing this teaching for you, because we want you to see that Jesus wants you free. And in Galatians 5:1, he said it was for freedom that he set you free. He came and died on the cross so that you could have freedom. And here comes man, and they try to put you under heavy, heavy loads of religion again, when Jesus says you don't have to live that way. And, you know, some people, they have to go on a definite day and go to a service where they confess their sins once a week and that kind of thing. And Jesus, he gives us opportunity when we commit our sin to ask forgiveness right there on the spot. The word is so good, and it is, it's not easy, but I want to say Jesus made the word simple so that even a little child can understand it, Darren, and men have made it complicated.
Well, I think in some churches they have a liturgy, and they want you to respect the robes, and they wear certain color robes at certain times of the year.
Well,
and that becomes the thing rather than the worship, the true worship.
That's right. And our second point here in chapter 23 is that very thing. Everything they do is to get attention.
That's right.
Even the clothes they wear are evidence of their vanity, loud and garish and expensive. And, you know, I must remember here that part of this hypocrisy thing is they're acting.
That's right.
They're actors.
That's right.
They're pretending.
Well, I think, Barbara, that many times that people have grown up and say, well, now what is this here? Is that religion? Is that being spiritual? Is that what God wants? Does he want? And then we get over into, well, this person graduated from this seminary or this school, and he has this degree, and it's hanging on the wall in his study,
mm-hmm.
and he dresses a certain way on Sunday morning, and we need to give great respect to that office. And I said, now, wait a minute. Why should we give great respect to that office? I want to see the goods. And Jesus talked that way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Jesus was out there doing the stuff, getting people healed and delivered and everything else. And the Pharisees, the scribes and the church of the day, the church leaders of the day, didn't have that power.
That's right.
They were jealous to the max, because here was a man, and then they jumped on Jesus. Why did he heal on the Sabbath day? I mean, they were phony to the absolute core.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara, we've got that same thing going on today in modern churches.
I believe that God, Father God, has such a great sense of humor, Darren, because Jesus could have been born in a very wealthy palace. I mean, a very rich, with a rich family and a palace, and had warmth all around him and rich clothes and everything. But it's really humorous how Father God said, you know what? I'm going to bring my son into this world through very, very poor circumstances,
humble
circumstances. And that way people are going to, people are going to have to come with a humble heart. They can't come with any of this hypocrisy to Jesus. There is no way.
You know, I think, Barbara, one of the greatest things that happens in tradition, the traditions here, is that certain people want to be recognized because of the way they dress,
mm-hmm.
where they graduated, their office or their position in the church. And I think that's most unfortunate.
Have you ever gone to a meeting where you felt very out of place? I mean, and I'll say a religious meeting, because that's probably where we're going to see a lot of this hypocrisy. But did you ever go to a meeting where you felt really out of place because of what you wore?
I thought, well, now, wait a minute here. And, you know, Barbara, I think that's unfortunate that we can't welcome the working man or someone that cannot afford the expensive suits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're paycheck just will not support that kind of lifestyle. And I think that's very, very unfortunate. And a pastor gets up and lets it be known, well, I spent $1,000 for this suit. One evangelist that I've not met personally, but I've heard about, I guess I'd say it that way, he will not wear the same suit twice. Now, folks, wait a minute. I think that's just going a little bit too far. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if the person in the pew can't afford that lifestyle, I don't think we ought to be rubbing it in their face at all. Mm-hmm. I just think that's just kind of wrong.
Do you enjoy wearing ties? Shirts and
I hate ties. I had to wear those when I was in the school district, and it was a part of your costume. I guess I would say I still know how to tie a tie, you know, although the other day I found I hadn't worn one for a while, and I had to stop and think about, now how do I tie this tie?
But I believe that Jesus wore very comfortable clothes.
Oh, I do too.
Darren, I really do. And clothes of the day, clothes to be comfortable with the people of that day as he was walking through the streets of Galilee.
But you see, Barbara, since you picked on the men's wardrobe, let me say this. I grew up with some people that they weren't right in the middle of our church, but they were people that we knew about, and they believed that ties were of the devil. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that's one end of the spectrum. Oh, well, you couldn't possibly wear a tie. And I've told this story sometimes where this old preacher went to have his, probably a 50th wedding anniversary or something, went to a photographer, and he had this picture taken, and the photographer noticed when he was developing the film that he didn't have a tie on, so he drew one in. Well, the old man almost died when he picked up the photograph, because that was absolute abhorrent sin to him. Well,
but
so
the tie is the focal point. In a man's wardrobe, when he comes walking towards you, the suit isn't, well, sometimes the suits, right. He's got good threads on, but I mean, the tie is right. Usually the attention getter.
So, I mean, we've had both ends of the spectrum here for men's wardrobe. Well, the tie is evil. No, you got to wear a tie. No, you can't wear a tie. We could say the same thing about women. Well, your skirt's way too short there, lady. I mean, you just got to go home and sew some, you know, 10 or 12 inches on the end of your skirt.
Oh, I've done that.
Have you really?
Yes, we've gone to concerts, churches, okay. Where I was told I couldn't wear a certain outfit.
All right, now, but whether your skirt is 2 inches above your shoe tops, or whether it's just below your knee, or right on the knee, or just above your knee, or whatever, is that going to make you a holy person or a spiritual person? Now, folks, some of you haven't been raised around this stuff, and we have been, but every church has some rules or some customs or some of their ways that could probably be challenged.
What we really want to teach you is that we want you to get into the Word of God for yourself and not take the Word, the whole Word. I mean, we want you to honor your pastor or whoever you're going to church and you're listening to, but we don't want you to make him your authority in your life, the utmost authority. We want you to make Jesus and his teachings in this Bible your authority. And one other thing that the Pharisees do, they always demand the head seat or highest place of honor at meetings. They absolutely need to be recognized. That is one of the foremost things that the Pharisee hypocritical spirit issues out, is just, I want to be recognized. And one thing my first husband John and I did when we did concerts all over the United States, one-night stands, one thing we did when we went to banquets, and John instructed me to do this, and we did it. We would go and we'd sit at the last two seats, or four if the girls came with us, and sang the four seats at the last table in the banquet hall.
In the back.
And invariably, the head honcho or the person in charge or the host or hostess, they would come to the back. Oh, you've got to sit at the head table. We have seats for you there. And it was much better to at least sit in the back and be humble in that respect than to, where's our seat up front here? You know, I've seen people shove their way up to the front to try to get the front seat. And Darren, that is not Jesus' way. He always came into a scene very unnoticed at first in the crowd.
But you know, Barbara, I've also seen, in fact, I was in a church where the front row was only reserved for staff.
Yes.
Okay? And these visitors didn't know. They came in and the ushers were not on the ball that day, and they went up and sat there, and they went and moved them.
Yes.
And it caused a real scene, and, you know, I hate to see that, and that shouldn't happen. But now let's get out in the parking lot. Let's talk about cars. Some people drive a car because they want to be recognized, and some people don't dare drive their new car to church because they're going to get criticized. Well, and then
it's
there's
catch 22.
I